Just a reminder, Jay and I are launching a mastermind group for those interested in starting an Etsy digital download side hustle. If you've got a goal to start a side hustle in 2018, this would be a really great way to do it. Bonus, you get to hang out with Jay and I live. Visit firedrillpodcast.com/mastermind for more information and to sign up for the email list. That's firedrillpodcast.com/mastermind.
Wow.
The wows.
The wows?
Mr. and Mrs. Waffles on Wednesday.
This couple is a great time. We had a lot of fun with them, and we know them personally, and they're a blast. So we think you're going to love this episode.
Grab a drink, pull up a chair, and have a listen.
Welcome to Fire Drill Podcast, where side hustles, savings, and creativity lead to financial independence. With your hosts, Gwen from Fiery Millennials, and Jay from Millennial Boss.
Welcome to this episode of the Fire Drill Podcast. I am super stoked to have some super cool bloggers, and I would consider them also friends. We have the Wow Couples, the Waffle on Wednesday. So can you give us a shout out, Mrs. Wow?
We are so excited to be here.
Okay, well, that didn't sound fake at all. And Mr. Wow.
I'm excited to be here too, guys. It's good to talk to you.
And joining us, as always, is our fabulous co-host, Jay. Hey, what up?
I'm excited, too.
So, the Wow Couple, give us your elevator pitch, your origin story. Go.
All right. We had been following the financial independence kind of mindset for a couple of years. I started originally reading a bunch of the blogs and, pretty much the typical ones, and came to the realization that this was feasible. And so I could make it happen. And I kept forwarding her various blog posts that I thought might be acceptable. And finally, after about a year and a half, I convinced her that it was a good idea. She jumped on board. And then when we were both doing it, we started talking to some people that we met. They said, hey, you guys are full of a lot of information. Maybe you have an interesting story to tell. And so we started, we were like, hey, let's start a blog. And we were sitting there. Usually on Sunday mornings, we make breakfast and I'll make pancakes or waffles or French toast or something. And Mrs. Wow here was one Sunday was saying, I really enjoy this. It's nice to sit down and relax and not have to rush off. And I snidely made a comment, eventually we're going to be able to do this whenever we want. And so that was kind of a mantra for us. And so we decided to name the blog Waffles on Wednesday as kind of a way to get to that end game, I guess.
So we know you guys are clever with the Waffles on Wednesday. Who are you guys? Give us a pick. The listeners don't know you. Give us your, who are you?
It's like CSI Las Vegas, who are
you? Yeah, right?
Dropping more old pop culture knowledge.
Nice way to sidetrack and avoid the question, but we're a couple that lives in right outside of Los Angeles, and we live nearby the beach. Mrs. Wow, runs her own company, and I am in software, and so that's what I do for a day job. And obviously, we have this blog that takes up a lot of our evenings.
You said you first heard about Fire. You were forwarding Mrs. Wow these articles. A lot of people have questions saying, how do you get your spouse on board? From Mrs. Wow's perspective, were you stop sending me this? I'm working. Or, what was there a moment where you had the light switch that turned on? What would you recommend for someone who is having these conversations with their spouse when their spouse is not originally on board?
Right. Yeah. It definitely took a while for that light switch to come on. Like Mr. Wow said, he had been sending me articles for probably a year, maybe even longer than that. And I actually really wasn't looking at them. I'd kind of be like, oh, great, thanks. Yeah, okay. And then I'd delete it or just kind of glance at it and just send it on its way. But really what honed in for me was one day he's like, you like to travel, right? And I was like, yes, I love to travel. Where are you going with this? And he was like, well, if we can do this, if we can become financially independent, you can travel. We can travel as much as you want. And I was
you can go.
Yeah, I'll go too. And I was like, that's it. I'm sold. That I think I had finally found the reason to try to make it understandable for me. Because before it was just, a lot of numbers and a lot of math. And I was like, yeah, sure. You like your spreadsheets and that's great. But what does it actually mean? And then once I had that realization, I was on board, all aboard, choo-choo, on the fire train.
I love it. So what type of steps did you guys take? I mean, did you cut your spending? What was your original strategy?
If we back up a little bit, what got me originally interested is I came into a fairly substantial stash of money, not life-changing, but the company I was at got acquired and my stock equity paid out. So I had this money and I gave it to a financial advisor that I had been using for years that my parents had set me up with. And I think this was 2012, somewhere in there. So the stock market was doing fairly well. And I got my statement at the end of the year come tax time. And I looked at it and I was like, wait a minute, the market's up like 30% and my account is up like 3%. And on top of it, you're charging me 1% on, you know, so what's going on here? And I looked around, and I was like, well, wait a minute, I could do better than that. And so that's what actually brought me to like Jim Collins. And from there, then I started reading all these different things. So really it started for me, you know, I know a lot of people are like, oh, I hate my job. I need to get out of here. But for me, it was more of, hey, I'm getting ripped off by this financial advisor. So let me just do this myself. Because if the market's doing that well, I could do this on my own. That was kind of the kickoff point. So what actually the first thing we did is I actually took all of our investments from him and took it and started taking that over myself before we started any of the cost cutting and all the rest of it. And so I did that for myself. And then once I kind of got her attention, she had a financial advisor as well. And so I went in and luckily the timing kind of coincided and I was like, hey, we're married now. I'm taking over all of this. And so wow. It made it a little bit easier on the transition. And so, so we started that. And then what happened was you had a bunch of monthly subscriptions and stuff. And I remember we had many a fight about you canceling monthly subscriptions because you didn't want to do it. And eventually we finally got her to do it. And so that's when we started snowballing all the expense cutting. And so now we're pretty well fine tuned.
We cut our cable, yeah. Cut our phone bill, you know, lots of kind of the standard protocol, I guess you could say, got cheaper car insurance, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You quit the gym. We work out in our garage. Mm-hmm.
What did you have to give up?
Cable.
Cable was a big one for me. I like to watch my sports. Well, I ride my bike. I do that anyway.
Yeah, that's not giving up. Yeah. You like that better anyway.
Well, I rode my bike in 40 degrees in rain today for 12 miles each way to work.
Wow.
So I would just like to segue into that because I like hearing this story. Well, I don't like hearing the story, but it's a very interesting story and you have lots of good things to tell about it. So talk to us about the whole accident
happened. So I think actually it would be better for Mrs. Wow to tell this.
You know, I've heard both sides.
You'll understand why when she starts telling it, because the honest answer is I really don't know much. So... So she'll have to tell it, and I can chime in with some of the stuff afterwards.
Yeah, I think this story is really kind of pertinent to our story, our fire story, because it really was this instant that Mr. Wow was commuting home on his bicycle from work, and at this point he was only working 2 to 3 miles away from our house. He got hit by a car. Luckily, it was a small car. It was a Mini Cooper, so... I think if it was a bigger car and if they were going faster, this could be a different story. But what ended up happening is that he had no memory for a night and a little foggy for the next couple days after that. And pretty much his brain was just kind of on a 30 to 60 second loop of asking questions. He didn't know who I was originally. I think later on he started to kind of figure it out, or I don't know, maybe not. But it was just question after question after question. And I think that in turn made me start to question, like, what's going on? What is our plan? What is our path? What are we doing? You know, because at that point, that night that he was hit, I was like, this could be the rest of my life. He might not remember. And then it's, you know, it's up to me to kind of continue on our path. And so it really kind of solidified what we were doing and why we were doing it to, you know, be able to pursue the life that we want and not have to, you know, be working the standard 9-to-5 job and, you know, just kind of making ends meet. That was actually right when we had started our blog. That happened just a couple weeks, or maybe even like the first week that we published anything. Mm-hmm. And so it's really kind of become this story that is just so important to kind of who we are.
It also explains a lot about Mr. Wow's behavior. So
always hashtag brain damage.
So I'll give you a little bit more detail. Yeah, I was riding home and I was going straight through an intersection, and this girl was, she was either playing with the radio or playing with her phone or what have you, but turned left into me. I ended up on the hood of the car out into the street. I don't remember leaving work. So my memory was shot from that point, but Mrs. Wow here apparently got a phone call from me. I said, "Hey, can you come pick me up?" And she said I was just kind of calm as could be. And she was like, "Yeah, what happened?" And it's like, "Oh, I got hit by a car."
No big deal.
Yeah, and she was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I'll come get you." And then she was putting on her shoes and whatever. No, not expecting anything, just figuring, you know, I bent the rim or what have you. And then I guess about a minute later, I called her back. And I said, "Hey, can you come pick me up? I got hit by a car." And she was like, "Yeah, I'm on my way. You don't know what – did you just call me?" And I was like, "No, okay, see you later." And just kind of hung up. And then I guess about a minute later, I called her again. And I was like, "Hey, can you come pick me up?" And she was like, "Are you alone?" And I was like, "No, the paramedics are here. They're really nice." And so she showed up and the paramedics were there. And when she got out of the car, they're like, "Hey, who are you? What are you doing?" She's like, "Oh, I'm his wife. I called. He called me, you know, and I'm here." And they're like, "Okay, before you go over there, is it normal for him to not know where he lives or what day of the week it is or who's running for president or, you know?" And she was kind of like, "Well, no." And so they walked her over to me and they were like, "Hey, your wife's here." And she said, I kind of looked at her blankly and was like, "Oh, hi." And then I don't remember anything. They put me in the ambulance. She stayed and helped clean up my bike. My bike was in about 8 pieces. And then when I was in the hospital, and again, I have no memory of this because I actually woke up the next morning and got in the shower and got ready to go to work. Like, I had no idea any of this happened. But yeah, so I was in the hospital room and apparently I sat there and I was like, "Hey, did I call you? How'd you get here?" And she was like, "Yeah, you called me." And I was like, "Oh, is my bike broken?" She's like, "Yeah, your bike's in about 8 pieces." Oh, I bet you that was a fun phone call to get. Hey, how did you get here? Did I call you? And she said I was on like a minute loop. And it went on for about 4 hours, right? 4 or 5 hours?
Yeah, maybe longer.
Yeah, I don't remember any of that. So that was our experience. And then, of course, that drug on for the better part of a year in dealing with insurance and getting reimbursed and everything else. And I was aware enough to know that I'm not a 48-year-old Hispanic female because my wrist bracelet was wrong in the hospital.
Wow. Okay. So that is a major, scary life moment, but you rode 12 miles to work today. So how soon after did you get back on the bike and why'd you do it?
So that happened in October. And I bought a new bike in May, the following May. And the reason why is because I was kind of getting antsy and temperamental. And Mrs. Wow here was like, "Go get a bike. You're happier when you're biking." And so, and at that point, I didn't have a job. And so I got the bike to just start exercising again. And then part of what may help me select this new job was the fact that they have a locker room in their office and I can ride on the bike path for 12 miles. So I see 3 stoplights across 12 miles riding through Los Angeles, which is pretty
impressive. That is awesome. Did you lose your job because of your injury?
No, that's another interesting story. I was at a job that I wasn't really, so this actually lends itself to this whole fire and having FU money, basically kind of 2 stories. So Mrs. Wow here was at a job and was like, "I can do this better. And since we have a stash of, you know, FU money," said, "go ahead, do it." And so she quit her job and went and started her own company. And here 2 years later, she's almost three years later, she's hugely successful and it's taken off. And now she has employees and the whole thing. For me, I was at a job that I was really unhappy about. I came home and she was like, "You have to quit." And I was like, "Okay, And so I ended up getting a call from an old coworker, and he was like, he said, "Hey, we're starting a new company. I could use somebody like you. Do you want to come? You're going to have to take a 40% pay cut." I was like, "Okay." So I left, and then that company didn't do so well. And so we ended up winding it down. And that's when I was off working, because we actually closed down the company. And then I had about a 2-month summer break. And then I was in the process of looking for other jobs, and we went to Peru and things of that nature. But yeah, it was really funny because all our friends were like, "Oh my God, you're unemployed. What are you going to do?" And I was like, "Well, I'm going to brew beer, and I'm going to garden, and I'm going to get a new bicycle and ride my bicycle, and I'm going to raise butterflies and, you know, all these other things."
I love that. So did you, how did you kind of budget yourselves when you were in that position?
For a while now, we've been able to live on just one of our salaries. It really was a pretty smooth transition. And it didn't really matter, you know, if one of us was working, because we had just been able to budget enough and be able to live on what that one person was making.
Yeah, our expenses are less than our expenses could be covered by less than one of our salaries right now. So, I mean, we are extremely fortunate in that. But all it really did was cut our savings rate. Mm-hmm. It didn't really cut into our expenses or anything like that. So we're super fortunate in that way.
Right. It was also really nice to have Mr. Wow be at home and be able to like kind of take care of some of the stuff. And he does a lot of like the back end work for my company. And so I actually was like, "Are you sure you want to go get another job? Because I really like this arrangement." And he was happy and I was happy and everything was great. I was like, you don't really need to go get another job. We'll just stay like this.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine.
So speaking of travel, I know that you guys like to travel, but talk to us about your trips that you take.
Which one?
Like, how did you get started traveling, and how has that inspired your travel plan since then?
Gosh, right around the time that we got married, we were like kind of talking about our honeymoon, and both of us were like, you know, we really want to like take some time off and go to Europe and just like backpack Europe, and this will be great. Flash forward a couple months, it was like, "Oh, you know, we're going to take 6 weeks off, and this is going to be absolutely awesome. It's going to be the trip of a lifetime. You know, we're never going to be able to do this again." We went to Europe. We did 6 weeks. We went all over the place. And then like less than a year later, we had the opportunity to go back to Europe for another month. After that, I was like, I love travel. Like this is something that I need to really be a part of my life. It really gave me kind of this passion that I guess I just hadn't noticed yet or maybe developed yet. I ended up meeting a girl who was going to do some volunteer work in Ecuador later that year. At that point, it was almost like how I jumped on the FI train. I literally was like, "I'm going with you," like that night. I had just met her and I was like, "I'm going with you." And she's like, "Oh, okay, okay." And like, lo and behold, a couple months later, I ended up going down to Ecuador. I got to volunteer down there. And then that has just, again, continued. I've now gone to Iceland and Peru. I've gone back to Ecuador, which was awesome. And then we are actually leaving a week from today and headed to Cambodia.
Which is not the same thing as Cameroon, by the way.
No, it's not.
So when you're saying we, do you go by yourself? You go with your team? Does Mr. Wow go too?
Typically, it is just me. Well, I guess it depends on which place. Some places I go and it's just me and I'm meeting up with some other people that are there. When I went to Peru, I actually went as part of a medical mission team. And there was about 60 of us that had gone down there. So typically, I'll go down for a week or two and do my volunteer stuff. And then Mr. Wow will fly down and meet me. And, you know, we'll just go kind of do the fun touristy stuff afterwards. But this Cambodia trip, he is actually going to be going along and helping and volunteering at the same time that I am there. And so I think this will be a super eye-opening, enlightening experience for him because he's never really gotten to see kind of the nitty-gritty day-to-day volunteering abroad type stuff that I've done.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So it sounds like you're super passionate about this, and it's something that I'm assuming you don't want to stop doing once you hit your FI number.
Oh, what's definitely your, not.
So do you now, we debate this back and forth. Do you still believe in FIRE after you've already found a job that you feel so passionate about?
Right. Yeah, So I've always kind of had this weird tension, or I'm not quite sure if the RE, the retire early part, really fits for me because I am so passionate about my job. But I think the big thing is really just more the way that I think about it. It might not be traditional employment where I'm actually making money from my job. Being that I love this volunteer stuff, I'll be doing my job, but I'm actually not getting compensated for it. So maybe that kind of fits into the retire early, but you know, I am still doing my profession. So I think technically for me, it's not.
I see. And Mr. Wow, what's your plan?
It's kind of interesting. I've actually ended up building some software for Mrs. Wow's company for billing and tracking documentation and things of that nature. And so I actually really enjoy that. I know it's a bit of what I do for a day job, but I enjoy doing what I want to do and not being told what I need to do. And so I may or may not continue that. One of the things that we've tossed around is, you know, looking at different ways that we might be able to expand her company. And I really am passionate about that. I've started brewing beer. So, and I've never got around to it while I was on my summer break, but I really want to start curing bacon as well. So we really want to open a brewery and a bacon shop. And I don't know, it's just way more involved and you have to get pork belly and the rest of it.
Wait, so that's amazing. Those are two of my favorite things.
Is that why you were so obsessed with the that bacon flight at that one place in Dallas?
That was all me. I was the one that ordered it. And then everybody else at the table, like their eyes were like just completely just staring at me the whole time. And I was like, yes, it is good as it looks.
Yeah, it was four different types of bacon and they were each paired with a different type of beer. And it was fantastic. It was at, what brewery was that? Braindead Brewing in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. But yeah, so we love bacon and I've always wanted to try and make my own. We actually, so going back to like the expense cutting stuff, we cook almost every night and a large portion of what we eat, I make from scratch. So I make mac and cheese from scratch. I make
really good mac and cheese from scratch.
We make cookies from scratch. And I do all the cooking. What else do we make? We made pizza crust recently, so we make homemade pizza.
Pasta.
Make homemade pasta.
Really good paella.
Paella. We actually started, so when we were in Morocco, we really started to enjoy tagine, which is a traditional Moroccan dish. And so we started making preserved lemons so that we can make our own tagine and things like that. And so I'll do a lot of the cooking and I really, really enjoy it. And we have a nice partnership. You know, I guess that's what comes with a marriage is I do all the cooking and she does all the dish cleanup because I can't stand it and she doesn't mind it. So it's worked out fairly well.
Hashtag relationship goals.
Yep. Flexibility goes back to our episode that we had with Mrs. Adventure Rich on the power of flexibility in your relationship.
It does. You own your own business, Mrs. Wow. I know that Mr. Wow created a pretty cool tool about that. Can you describe what that is?
Well, yeah, I'll give you the non-technical, non-clinical side of it, and then he can probably jump in and give a little bit more of what he actually did. But it was basically a way to track, for my business, track our spending and expenses. And pretty much what he did was he like lined it up with the Schedule C that you would need to use for your taxes. And so every time that I would get like an expense of anything, it would just go right in under whether it was travel, food, you know, licensing, anything like that. It made it much easier at the end of the year, come tax time, for us to be able to do our taxes and have our accountant help us out.
Yeah. So when she started her company, we needed to track all the expenses against the company because we were mingling them with in between personal and corporate just for various credit card rewards and all sorts of things like that. So we were, you know, using it for spending instead of going through and tracking down every receipt every month and filling it out on one Saturday. I basically used Google Forms and Google Drive to build ourselves a mobile app that both Mrs. Wow and myself could import corporate expenses as we were going through the month. So at the end of the month, I could look it up and see what exactly was a business expense and pay that portion of the credit card bill from the corporate account and then use our personal accounts to pay off the remainder of the bill for the credit card. And then, as she alluded to, it made it really easy when it came tax time, because we had everything already documented and categorized properly.
Which, as somebody who is on the cusp of going into business for themselves, sounds amazing and is probably one of the very first things that I'm going to do when I'm self-employed, is create that tool for myself, because you wrote an awesome post about it, which we will link in the show notes.
Well, good. Yeah, I hope it's helpful. It was super easy. The whole point of it was, it's number one, free, and it's fully customizable. So you can do whatever you want and you can capture whatever you want. I know, you know, for instance, Gwen, you have some rental properties, and if you ever decide to have more, you could drop a field in and have and allocate the expenses to each individual rental property, for instance, if you wanted to do it that way. Or you could, you know, you can categorize it by income or expense if you want to track your entire P&L for your personal expenses and things of that nature. So it's fully customizable and it's free. Eventually, so we have since outgrown it. So we've actually gone to a more robust and professional grade accounting software. But this was great for super easy, get off the ground, free, just to check it out and go forward. And we used it for 2 years.
Free 99 is my favorite price.
Super easy. All you got to do is spend probably 20, 30 minutes piecing it together. And then if you don't like that, you can go back and adjust it really quick. And it just drops it into a spreadsheet. So you can do what you want with it.
You guys have this awesome, well, you're already living an awesome life. And you talked about the power of having FU money and some of the cool experiences that has afforded you in the past couple of years. Can you give us an overall sense of your timeline? I mean, from start to now, how many years or so was that? And how many years do you have left? Like, what's your overall FI timeline?
We are definitely not a traditional FIRE blogger people. I know.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is that a thing?
But we actually don't have a set number and we don't have a set date. Again, don't revoke our FIRE card here, but we're just kind of doing our thing. Mr. Wow's been on this longer. And so I think it was, 2012?
Yeah, so it's really been about four-ish years, I would say, for me. 2012, 2013, somewhere, maybe four and a half, five years for me. And then for you, it's maybe been about two.
Yeah.
But the reason why we don't necessarily have a number, and Mrs. Wow alluded to this earlier, is she runs her company and it will kind of perpetuate, right? So part of our after FIRE goals is to continue doing this. And so it may or may not generate money, which my guess is it probably will, simply because she has employees and so they generate some money and things of that nature. So we don't necessarily have a end date, but for me, where I can stop and maybe work for her company, we're probably a year to 18 months away from that if all goes right. And again, you know, things change, right? So that's why we don't want to kind of write it in stone, but it's a little flexible. And so we're a little bit flexible on our you know, official FIRE number as well, because she's going to continue working. And since we can live on less than one income, I could technically quit now, but there's no reason to at the moment, unless her company grows and she needs me to work for her full time, or if I just really get sick of it one day or one of these things. But yeah, so that's kind of where we're at. It's kind of a nebulous answer, but it's you know, it is what it is.
So beyond just kind of the income that her company brings in, I'm assuming there was some level of safety net that you guys wanted to build first. So that,
yeah, I have an arbitrary number that I want to hit, and we should hit that by the end of the year.
The end of the year. So how did, to give everyone some, you know, the background, how did you hit that number? Was it rental properties, savings through, you know, W-2 employment, side hustles? What was your strategy to get there?
So it really, really was savings and budgeting and things of that nature. Like, we're kind of an interesting couple in the fact that we're not anti-real estate. We're anti-real estate in the location that we live, just because it's so expensive.
So ridiculous.
It's absurd. Yeah, we have a 900 square foot house that's on Zillow for $1 million. And so
that we rent.
Yeah, we rent. We do not own. Yeah, like, yeah. No, there's no way. Like, our rent is less than what the interest payment would be on the mortgage.
So that's what I think you and I talked about this after I wrote a post about what the market is like where I live right now. I will see houses that cannot rent, and then they put them on the market and they go for, like you said, like $800,000 up to $1 million. And I'm shocked. And I'm like, there's something wrong here. This house cannot rent, or the rent is just so low.
Yeah, I don't get it. Gwen, you'll know this more than Jay will, but the, was it the 1% rule?
Yeah, the 1% rule. So your $1 million house would need to rent for like $10,000.
Yeah.
In order for it to be worth it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Good luck with that.
Yeah, we've actually had our rent go down.
Yeah, we've actually had our rent go down the last couple of years.
Wait, why? Because they were like, we like you guys. Here's $50 back.
Well, so first we moved out of a place that was like steps from the beach, and it was in a great location, but we decided that we wanted to, you know, cut back our rent a little bit. So we moved to a different city and cut it down a little bit. And as we were looking at the place, the landlord was like, oh, hey, if you want, we can decrease this rent for you. And we're like, okay. We didn't even have to ask for that. And then maybe 6 months ago, something like that, we were supposed to be having a gardener come. The gardener was never showing up. So we decided that, you know, we would just call our landlord and say, hey, how about we take care of the lawn and we take care, you know, of kind of the yard work if you decrease our rent? And they said, okay. And so then they went down again. And we were like, sweet.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you landlord people will probably appreciate the fact that we pay our rent on time and we take care of the place. You know, they came over, our landlord came over one time and they actually asked us if we cleaned up for them to come over or if this is the actual way that we live. And we're like, oh, no, we didn't clean up for you. This is kind of how we live. So I think there's something to be said about being a good tenant. And I also think there's something to be said about finding a private landlord that appreciates a good tenant.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then you kind of have leverage on both sides because they want to keep you in there because the vacancy is more costly to them than $50 or $100 a month.
Absolutely.
And if you are taking care of the property and paying rent on time and you're not causing problems for the neighbors and not causing them a headache and all these things, they actually appreciate you having you there. So there's a kind of a give and take on both sides. And we kind of, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. And so there you go.
Yep.
Yeah. My good tenant saved me thousands of dollars this last week by managing to thaw the pipes out before they burst because we got super cold weather. So yeah. I'm going to buy him a gift card. Yeah. I'm going to buy him a gift card because I really appreciate the fact that I don't have to fork over $10,000 to fix stuff around the house.
Well, you know, and if he's paying his rent on time and you know, I mean, if that's the case, you know, is it really worth it for you to jack up his rent $25 a month next year when his lease is renewed, you know, or
yes.
Is he happy and you're happy, you know, like, and that's kind of where you play the game. And we've played that game. We've dealt with some landlords that were, you know, well, we're going to raise your rent $50 just because we can every month. And it's like, well, come on, guys, like, you know, I take care of this place for you. Well, our old place, we left and they jacked the rent up $700 a month and rented it in a week and a half.
Oof.
It just like slabbed like a coat of paint on the walls. And literally there were like termites coming up through the floors and like stairs were falling apart to get into the place. Like,
yeah, I stepped through a stair and we told her there was a termite problem and she handed us a can of Raid.
Wow.
And that place rents for what the neighbors say, $3,500 a month now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a 2-bedroom apartment that rents for $3,500 a month.
That's insane.
And termites are coming out of the hardwood floors.
Nice.
And I stepped through a stair.
That's so wrong. Yeah. I know how the good landlord, bad landlord thing. My tenant tells me all the time that he's so happy that I'm the tenant or that I'm the landlord because the previous landlord gave him a card for Christmas. And he was like, oh, sweet, a gift card. Thanks. And he opens it up. There's no gift card. And instead it says, the rent's going up $25. Merry Christmas.
But you're kidding, right?
I'm not kidding. So this year, my first Christmas with him, I gave him a card. And inside was a note that said, Merry Christmas. Your rent's going up $25. Just kidding. Who would do that? That's such a terrible thing. Here's a gift card for $25 to Aldi.
Oh.
And he was like, "You're the best. You're the best landlord ever. Don't ever leave."
Well, that's the thing. Oh. Is like, just don't be a shithead, right? Like, I mean, like there's a great rule of life. Don't be a shithead. It gets you very far in life.
We will definitely put that in the show notes.
Takeaway. Takeaway number one.
Takeaway number one. Don't be a shithead.
Yes. I mean, really? You know, like, I don't know.
Sorry. So back to the story. Did you guys... So obviously this was a big challenge when you had the bike accident, but beyond the bike accident, did you ever face any other challenges in this path to FI?
That's a good question.
You mean besides her agreeing to marry him?
Yeah, well, that too. As far as challenges go, we've been actually really, really lucky. I was lucky enough that my dad was fairly interested in finances and had set up a Roth for me as soon as I had earned income. So I've had a Roth since I was like 14 years old. He maxed it out every year, all the way through college, all the way through everything. He maxed it out until I had a salary to be able to max it out myself. I never understood it, nor did I care at the time, but I was fairly lucky. Mrs. Wow here, she had some stuff when we got married. You had some retirement stuff through the state and you had some other stuff that I had to consolidate. But yeah, so we were pretty lucky in that regard. As far as challenges go, the big challenge really was you stepping out on your own. That was a huge challenge. And for a while there, we didn't have some of the income coming in. But again, we had cut our expenses down so that we could live on one income so she could take that risk. And I think one of the big things, not that it's a challenge, but one of the big benefits that we've noticed is even though we aren't at the point where we can kind of hang it up and go travel the world, we have enough stashed up that these little hiccups in the road don't really matter, right? So like, again, I was unemployed for 2 months last summer and she decided to take a risk. And one of the big things for her to take the risk, we sat there and talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. And she said, "What's the worst that happens?" And the worst that happens is she goes back to her life today, right?
Which I have to say that I have adopted that policy in my life. What's the worst that could happen? And yeah, these two right here are actually one of the big reasons that I'm quitting my job.
Oh, that's
thanks for the inspiration. I was being serious and being nice, gosh darn it.
And I appreciate it. And you know what? And here's something that I will say. And this goes with my rule number one of the Waffle Clan. This will be rule number two is everybody asks the question, what could go wrong? And nobody ever stops to think what could go right.
That's, you know,
deep. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, whatever, but it's probably the beer talking. But
no, I'm with you. Like, I'm not even drinking right now, but I guess I'm going to go in on this talk. But sometimes I'm always like, when I'm toying whether I should do X or Y or make a decision, I say, well, what if I get hit by a bus tomorrow? Would I regret not doing this?
I got hit by a car.
Hit by a car, exactly. But then on the other hand, I'm
he
like,
can't push that card anymore.
But I'm like,
yeah,
wait.
I have a direct answer for that.
Well, okay, well, it's something you haven't been hit by. What if I'm hit by a helicopter? Then
lightning.
What if I was struck by lightning? Then the next day, I'm like, well, what if I don't get struck by lightning and I live? And that's how I make my decisions sometimes. Like, especially as it pertains to fire, sometimes I'm like, I should just like quit my job and do this. And I'm like, wait, what if, because I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. I'm like, if I don't get hit by a bus tomorrow, then I have to live the rest of my life without any money. I need that stability. So that's.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. And then there's also, so we actually have an article about some friends of ours. They were sick of their life here and they packed up and moved to Venice, Italy. And they are loving life. They've been there for 3 years and they started their own little company. And again, they weren't fired, but they had enough savings saved up for about 3 years. So they knew what was going on. And it's funny because when we were talking to her, she said, you know, why does the grass grow between the sidewalk? Why does the grass go through the concrete? And we were kind of like, I don't know why. And she goes, well, because nobody told it couldn't, you know? And so it's like, wow, that's really deep too.
So what do they do over there?
Spoiler alert, we're totally going to have them on the podcast at some point.
Have you contacted them?
Not yet, no.
Do you have their contact information? Do you know them?
Yeah. Yes.
No, yeah. They're good friends of ours, and I've sent it to Gwen, and I can get you guys in touch with them.
But she said
they
it.
Were,
oh,
they okay. were living in Long Beach. She had always gone to Venice for on vacation, and she took him, and midway through their vacation, he had never been, and midway through the vacation, she was like, hey, what do you think about moving here? And he was like, yeah, let's do it now. And so she came back and went to a meeting at our corporate headquarters the week after she got back from the trip, and literally at the end of the meeting stood up and was like, yeah, I quit, and walked out.
And,
yeah. And they were like, what do you mean? And she was like, yeah, I'm done. And so they came and they spent 6 months like ironing everything out, and they packed up all their belongings into crates, which moving to Venice, Italy is an interesting place for anybody that's never been there. They have no roads. It's pretty interesting. But they packed up the crates and they shipped it over. And they started their food tour. And they love it. It's such a great thing. And again, they were like, what could go wrong? Well, we could come back and have our life that we have today. And we'll have spent 3 years in Venice, Italy, trying to give it a go. And here they're there. And, you know, they actually are making enough through their little company that they don't have to touch their savings. And it was going so well that they actually had to cut it down.
Yeah. And they're just absolutely loving life. When we talk to them, gosh, I feel like we talked to them for like 3 or 4 hours, you know, over multiple bottles of wine. And just hearing their story was so inspirational for us, you know, because I think that we really like where we are right now, but hearing them go through that and like all the challenges and now kind of coming out on the other end, it was just like, wow, like you guys got this. This is incredibly awesome.
Yeah. And so, they were really inspiring to us, and we really want to go over there and meet up with them again. You know, we never talked finances. We never talked anything. It just kind of came out of the blue, and it was pretty awesome. So there's people undercover everywhere in this community, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I've definitely run into a few people at work that have been incognito fi. Like, I was talking to my softball team at practice one day. I said something, and they're like, oh, you should meet this guy and my team in accounting. He's looking at buying a van to live in. And I was like, that does sound like somebody I want to talk to. They're like, yeah, he keeps going on about this mustache dude. And I was like, I know him. He's like, Elf from Santa, right? I know him. So, yeah, so then I ended up meeting him, and we get along fabulously. And I've met 2 or 3 other people who are also FI on top of that, or working towards FIRE. So it's been very interesting, a very positive experience for me to talk about it. I know Jay has not had the same positive experience about FIRE and work.
Yes, although really? In my current company, I work for a massive company, and I see we have like, you know, shared drives and things like any company would have. And there's information, FIRE type information that somebody crowdsourced and put up there. And we have lists. We have like, you know, Mr. Money Mustache lists. So it's a very why I personally have not like been very proactive about putting myself out there and self-identifying as part of that. I see people all around me who are interested in that type of thing. And that's really cool.
Yeah. At my most current company, I was talking to one of the management team and I was new. So he's like, hey, let's go get lunch. And so I always tend to like throw out a little bit of bait and see if people will bite. And so he was like, hey, what are you working on? I was like, oh, I have to redo my wife's 401k for her company. And he was like, oh, really? What company are you using for that? And I was like, well, you know, we're going to use Schwab for it. We were using Fidelity, but I looked into Vanguard. And he was like, oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure you looked into Vanguard. And like, you know, my kind of like antenna were going off.
Your spidey senses were tingling.
Yeah. And so I was like, so wait a minute, are you interested in this? He's like, yeah. And I said, oh, what blogs do you read? And so he kind of started listing off all the typical ones. I was like, oh, really? And so and all of a sudden, like the discussion just completely transformed from work to like, oh, this is awesome, you know, and all this stuff. And the great story about him is he went on vacation to Australia and he came back, and not even a week after he was back, he put in his resignation. And so I hit him up on the work messenger, and I was like, so where are you going? Or are you just riding off into the sunset? And he just sent me a picture of a sunset.
I love that.
I hate you. I really, really hate you.
I know.
So it was pretty funny. Undercover. And you got
Brandon from The Mad Scientist has mentioned that when he sends out emails to his email list and he gets these auto replies saying that people have retired or, you know, doing cool stuff, how awesome it is.
That's fantastic.
Gwen, we actually hit that a little bit on our email list. I don't know if you...
Did we?
I don't know if you noticed that. Yeah, we had someone who was off traveling somewhere, which was pretty cool.
Ah, that is cool. No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
I'll look out for that the next time I send out an email.
Oh, yeah. And guys, if you have an email list, you should totally be on it.
Yeah. So if you're not on our email list, and this applies to the WoWs and to our audience, please join it. We have lots of fun stuff going on behind the scenes in our email list. So super fun.
You'll probably get an out-of-office message next week. So just be on the lookout.
We will look forward to it. Can't wait.
Yeah, because you're in Cancun, right?
Yeah, Cancun.
Actually, Canada.
Canada.
Yeah.
So this has been such a lovely chat with you both today. Definitely had us thinking very deeply about some of our choices, and I think you guys are really inspiring. If people want to learn more about you, where can they find you?
Our website is wafflesonwednesday.com, and our Twitter handle is wafflesonwed. Mostly we use Twitter just to talk trash to people.
And post pictures of beer.
Yeah, and post pictures of beer. But yeah, so that's the two places. We're not really anywhere else. And we have an email list as well.
All right, Jay, I'll let you ask this time.
I'm so excited to ask. Actually, okay, I want to ask this question, but I'm going to give the background, because if anyone has joined us recently, they would not have known this. So,
oh, good call.
Yeah, so I read this book, The Crossroads of Should and Must. And
I'm the one that's drinking. Come on.
I know. The book is...
Yeah, we are too.
In the book, the author writes about how she went to a dinner party one time. When everyone went into the dinner party, they had to write on a slip of paper what their wildest dream is, a dream that they would never confess to anybody else. And then they all had glasses of wine and the wine's flowing at this dinner party. And then later in the night, when everyone's all loosened up, then they had to go around and kind of confess that wildest dream to everyone else at the party. You know, it was about like how, for her, confessing that dream, it really, once she spoke it, it kind of like put into action the fact that she was going to follow it. Mrs. Wild, we'll ask you first. What is your wildest dream?
So my wildest dream, I've always wanted to be a singer. And I've never really wanted to admit that to anybody. I'm not in any way, shape, or form a singer, but I love music, and I will turn it on in my car, and when I'm driving, I will belt it out. And I'm sorry for anybody that's ever had to listen to it before. But yeah, I think my wildest dream would really be able to play guitar and be able to sing my own little ditties at the same time.
Would you mind kind of giving us a little hint of what that could sound like?
You don't want to hear it.
I don't think that that's the best idea.
Yeah, no. No, that's why it's my wildest dream, because it's not going to happen.
Hey, you never know. I was listening to Tim Ferriss say that he took voice lessons, and I have been someone who was told to not sing happy birthday at family events growing up. Because I had a very musical family, and sometimes they'd be like, we're going to sing in the key of C. This was not my immediate family. This was extended family, whenever it was like an extended family thing. And, you know, at a certain point, I just started mouthing the words because I didn't want to ruin it for everybody. So for me, this would be great. I mean, I want to be able to sing someday too. I love that.
Right. And there's a reason that I work with kids, because I can sing and they're going to look at me and they're going to smile and they're going to think that I am the best singer in the world. So I guess that's all I really need to know.
I love that. Okay. And Mr. Wow, you are next. What is your wildest dream?
So my wildest dream is to be on The Bachelor, but not the way that you would think, because I already have my beautiful wife. I want to be Chris Harrison, and I want to be the host. I want to sit there and I want to say, gentlemen, Gwen, this is the final rose this evening, when you're ready. And then I just want to kind of fly around and watch the mayhem.
Yeah, I don't know how to end that, so I'm just going to say thank you to both of you for coming on the podcast, and this was definitely something.
This was something. We appreciate it. Can't wait. I don't know what I can't wait for, but I don't know what I'm excited for.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that I was going to bring a kibosh to the whole thing. But yeah, we appreciate you guys having us on, and it was a lot of fun, and we're excited to see where the life takes us.
Yeah. We love listening to your podcast. This has been an honor to be a part of it.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Go to our website, firedrillpodcast.com, to continue the discussion and get the link to our private Facebook group.
If you like us, leave us a review on iTunes. If you're like me, you have no idea how to do that. So, in the podcast app or in iTunes, search for Fire Drill Podcast, find it, click the Reviews tab, and write something to make my mother proud of me. We read every single review and want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for making this podcast possible.